I pray, Lord, that we would be forever ruined for the ordinary. Lord, that we would recognize, Lord, that the church is on alert. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody's phone is buzzing, but everybody's phone. All right. Good moment. Amen. Let me just... Amber alert. Well, we've got a Kingdom of God alert this morning. Because the church is the hope of the world. Lord, we have not come into the church by accident. We're not here because just our mom or dad dragged us here, Lord. Lord, you have a purpose. You have a plan for every single person in this room and beyond, oh Lord. To change the world, Lord, your method of changing the world was always through relationships. You found 12 men, imperfect men, by the way, and you used them, Lord, to start a movement that we are still being affected by today, Lord. And now there are over close to 3 billion Christians in the world. To God be the glory. We're excited and honored to be a part of something that's greater than ourselves, something that will outlast us, something that is destined to change the world. For your kingdom has no end. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Amen. The title of our message today is The Church of Christ is the Hope of the World. The Church of Christ is the Hope of the World. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 to 13 is our text. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10 to 13, because of God's grace to me, Paul is speaking, I have laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it, but whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful. Because no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have, which is Christ Jesus or Jesus Christ. Could you just put this a tiny bit lower? Thank you so much, Kenneth. Jesus Christ is our foundation. Anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of materials. Now, we're all helping to build the house of God. Do you remember when we were children? We used to sing, Building Up the Temple. Anybody remember that song? Building Up the Temple of the Lord? Brother, won't you help me? Sister, won't you help me? Building up the temple. Because we are builders together. Everybody say, we are builders together of the house of God. But we all build with a slightly different type of material, a slightly different gifting. Not everyone's alike. Aren't you glad that in this room we're all different? Yeah. Look at your neighbor and say, you're different. In a nice way. In the best way possible. Don't say you're weird. Don't say that. You're just different. Okay, so we all have different gifts. We all have the ability to help build. I want to announce something to you. This is a news flash in case you didn't get this. We're all building. We're all building a part of the kingdom of God in some way. You know, we've got hands and we've got feet and we've got ears and we've got eyes. Just like a body has different parts, we have different functions in the body of Christ. Some of us have helps ministry. Some of us are teachers. Some of us are prayer warriors. Some of us are prophetic. Some of us are, there's so many different gifts. So many different gifts. Serving is a big gift in the body of Christ. But whatever your gifting may be, you have a part to play. And no part is unimportant. How many of you would like to do without one foot? That's not a good thing, right? How would you like to walk around with just one hand? Not a good thing, right? Every part is important in God's eyes. So whether it's silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw, we're all building. But on the judgment day, let's read the last sentence. On the judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. In other words, our works will be tested by God, the scrutiny of God. So real work for God will last. What's done in sincerity was done in faith, was done out of love, will last. Was done to show, to be a show-off, won't last. Was done out of a mixed motivation with a wrong motive, will not last. It will be burnt up. what's done out of envy won't last. It's only what's done from love and from a pure heart and by faith. Hallelujah. Because everything we must do must be done by faith, the Bible teaches. I wonder if those who were living during the time of Christ, and I probably know the answer to my own question, but let's put it this way. Very few people at first understood the seismic change that was coming to the world, the so-called spiritual earthquake that was about to happen. You know, when Jesus was on the cross, there was an actual physical earthquake. But there was also a spiritual earthquake because in the heavenlies, Satan was finally cast down and put under our feet. Hallelujah. In the heavenly realms, the Lord said, I'm going to soon crush Satan under my feet. Somebody say amen. Amen. Satan bit at his heel. That's what the cross was about. It was prophesied in Genesis 3:15. Satan bit at his heel, but Jesus crushed his head. Somebody say crushed his kingdom. He crushed his kingdom. So the end time entity that we need to be concerned with is the church, not the kingdom of darkness. We need to be experts on the Bible. We need to master in Jesus and minor in Satan. Somebody say amen. Amen. We need to be so God-conscious that we're less self-conscious. We need to be a spirit-filled man, a spirit-filled woman, where the flesh is not so strong anymore, and the flesh is not always tripping me up and getting me in trouble. How many of you, don't raise your hand, have been in trouble sometimes because your flesh got the best of you? Come on now. Come on now. That's what my father-in-law used to say. Come on now. We are to be spirit-filled men and women who are advancing the kingdom of God. When Jesus started his church, it was just a handful, just 12. And then there were 70, and then there were 120, and then there were 3,000, and then there were 5,000. And look at where we are now. The world is filled with Christians everywhere we go. Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against us, against it. The church was inaugurated by Christ's resurrection and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that came in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. The church was inaugurated. It was born. They received the Holy Spirit. The amazing grace of God was released so that now we wouldn't have to go through a priest to get our sins forgiven. Now we wouldn't have to go into a temple in Jerusalem to get close to God. That Jesus would literally come to live in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit who gave the Virgin Mary the seed of the Holy Spirit was now going to come upon us. So that the Holy Spirit, that wonderful, pure thing, holy thing born in us was born of God. We can all be born of God. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus came to do. And he's still building his church, regardless of what's happening in the news. Amen. I got news for you. The Republicans are not going to save the world. Get ready now. The Democrats are not going to save the world. The independents are not going to save the world. Hollywood is definitely not going to save the world. The church can save the world. Hallelujah. Somebody get excited this morning. The church can save the world. The church is the hope of the world. That's what the Lord's put in my heart this week. Of course there's a spiritual battle. There's a battle going on right now for the minds and the hearts of the next generation. That's why we need to be praying for our children, our youth, our young adults. The enemy is after them, but he's already defeated. If we put on the armor of God, if we understand the position we have in Christ, if we understand the authority that we have, if we understand the scriptures, the power of the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, we can overcome. Amen. He overcame and we can overcome also. But don't doubt that there is a battle. And let me tell you something else. Don't be passive. The Bible talks about in the last days a lukewarm church. It also talks about a sleepy church. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't be sleepy. And don't be lukewarm. Wake up. Jesus is coming soon. Hallelujah. Jesus was able to say, I have finished the work. In John 17, he prayed that beautiful prayer. Lord, God, I come back to you. I'm coming back to you, Father. I have finished the work you gave me to do. Will you and I be able to say, God, when our day comes, I have finished the work that you gave me to do? I believe this morning that our work is not done. Our work is not done. There's much to be done. Say amen, church. The church is the salt and the light of the world. The church is his hands in this world. It's his heart reaching out. The church is the hope for a prisoner. The church is the hope for people in third world countries. The church is the hope for people who are strung out on drugs. It's the hope for people who are confused by gender identity. Somebody say amen. Amen. It's the light that dispels darkness. Yes. And it's the salt that protects us against decay and corruption of sin. I want to say that again. I need a little stronger amen on that one. It is the light that dispels darkness and the salt that protects us against decay and corruption of sin. Amen. Amen. It is the foundation that we are building our lives upon. It's a rock that cannot be moved. And it is trustworthy. It is a truth that is unchanging. Hallelujah. In a world that is full of relativism. What was considered by everybody a sin 50 years ago or 100 years ago, today is gladly accepted and celebrated. Come on now, somebody say amen. How many of you know the world is going in the wrong direction? I've had many conversations with college students and other people who want to argue with me about the truth of the scriptures and about the existence of God. And some of these people, God bless them, they got tremendous intellects, much smarter than me. But I'm glad that God's not relying on my intellect to teach me the truth that I need to be saved. I need to be saved because I have a moral problem, not an intellectual problem. And the people around you need salvation, not because they have an intellectual problem, but because they have a sin problem. That's why we need to be saved. You know, when a baby is 2 or 3 years old, how many of you have seen children fighting with each other? There's a perfect illustration of the, what do they call that, the Adamic nature, the pervasive nature that is we're all born with in Adam. Light dispels darkness. And the church is the foundation of truth. 1 Timothy 3:15 says, I don't think we have this on the screen, but it says, the church of the living God is the pillar and foundation of truth in the world. This is first, you can look it up later. 1 Timothy 3:15, the second part of the verse. The church of the living God, the pillar of truth, the foundation and pillar of truth in the world. You take the church out of the world is going to implode. You take the light out of the world, and what do you have? Darkness. You take love out of this world, and what do you have? Chaos. The church is the salt and the light of the world. You are the hope of the world. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are the hope of the world. You have the message that the world needs. You have the truth that can never be shaken. Your life is built not on feelings and not on trends and not on styles and not on what Hollywood says and not what the media says. Come on now. You got these heroes on the screen, even whether it's being in Hollywood or in politics or in sports. The next thing you find out, they've been beating up their wife. Come on now. They had the hand in the cookie jar. They've been stealing from the government. Don't put your eyes on people. Everybody, starting with me, we're all imperfect. We are all imperfect. Put your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now sat down by the right hand of God Almighty. Hallelujah. He finished the course. He won the victory. He wears the victor's crown. Hallelujah. Wherever the church and the teachings of Christianity have gone in the world, this has been proven by sociologists and by history. The sacredness of marriage has been emphasized by churches. I mean, if you think that's good for culture, that's good for the world, that we emphasize the sacredness of marriage, that you shouldn't just be, you know, jumping into one relationship after another and so on and so forth. Women's rights, as much as a lot of people who hate the Bible and hate Christianity, women's rights is in the Bible. Jesus championed women in his day who were otherwise marginalized. Right? Don't let that woman look at him. He doesn't realize this woman is a sinner. He actually allowed her to touch him. Oh, my goodness. Oh. And then even though there's no difference between male or female in God's eyes, we are equal in God's eyes. We have different roles. That's another sermon. We have different roles, but we are equal. Not male or female, no one better than the other. We are the same. All right? Women's rights. Schools and universities have been started by Christian churches. Some of our esteemed institutions that we know about today, Yale University, Harvard University. There's a whole bunch of others, famous Cornell, were started to train ministers to go into the ministry. They were trained for ministry, to establish teaching for ministers to become pastors. And that's what the church did. Laws to protect children have been enacted because of the church. Slavery has been abolished because of the church. Read the story about William Wilberforce, the former prime minister of England. Read his story. A Christian man who fought to abolish slavery and the slave trade in London. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hospitals, orphanages, feeding programs, a multitude of other changes for the good of mankind have happened because the church. Don't let the neighbors and friends of yours, people in school, make fun of the church or put down the church. The church is God's answer for the world. Hallelujah. Amen. We're not a perfect church, but we are washed in the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. We are not a perfect church, but we are the one who God loved and died for. He died for us. We are the bride of Christ, and we are part of something that is bigger than ourselves. The church is the body of Christ that is God's eternal family. Ephesians 1, verses 22 and 23. I think we have this one. Ephesians 1, 22, 23. I'm going so fast, I can hardly breathe. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. Look at this. And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. So as we become the church that God sees, as our little sign over here says, we fill the earth with the blessings of Christ. There is no place on this earth that can keep God out. Because as Moses said, the whole earth shall be filled with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. There is no place where the devil can hide or keep the church from doing its great work. By the way, some of you may know this. We're actually trying to help missionary Wayne Derry, who was here about a month ago, build a little church in Kenya. They're building like one church per month, these actual structures, a very simple structure that can be built for $8,000. So keep that in prayer. Yeah. It is the body of Christ of which we all have a part. Catalyst is one of those expressions of a local church. There are many churches all over Central Florida. Which church is the right church? Which church is the perfect church? It's the one where God sends you. Is the church that you feel like, this is my church? Is this church perfect? No. Why? Because it's made up of imperfect people. But is this church a legitimate expression of the ministry of Christ? Yes, it is. Why do I know that? Because we hold up the Word of God. Amen? We believe in the fundamentals of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The virgin birth of Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, the blood of Jesus as the only remedy for our sin, the second coming of Jesus Christ, and on and on and on. We believe in the fundamental truths of the Bible. And we are a growing church. When this church started, it started over here in the Meadowood area by Meadowood Elementary School. And Angel is one of the oldest members, even though he doesn't look that old. What did you say? That's a matter of opinion? No, I'm just joking. No. How many years is it, Angel? You were here since 93. That makes it 25 years. Give Angel and Maria a hand. 25 years. Now, there's others. Don't get mad at me, okay? Say, I will not get mad at you, Pastor, okay? Thank you, honey. I appreciate that. I'm going to count on that later on. But when the church started, they started in a home. Mrs. Edwina Hawkins, her last name. Bible study, and God began to bless, and then they moved over to the Meadowood Elementary School, and they met there. I don't know how long they met there. A couple of years at the Meadowood. And the first official name of the church was the Cornerstone. No, Church at the Meadowoods, right? Church of Meadowoods was the first official name of this church back in probably the late 80s, early 90s, something like that. And then it was changed to Crossroads Church. And then Pastor Doug, who was here prior to us, he was here for about 11 years. Under his leadership, I think they changed it to Catalyst. Is that correct? So now we're Catalyst Church. So we've had like three or four pastors, and everybody has made a contribution. This building, for some of you who don't know this, was the Landstar Builders showroom. This was actually a mobile building made up of, you know, like mobile home units. And it's on cement blocks. It still is to this day. And when they sold all these houses and built all these houses around here, the Landstar Builders, that's why the street's called Landstar Boulevard, then they sold this to the church. I can't find out exactly how much it was, but I think it was under $100,000. I think around 80-something thousand. But this building was meant to be a temporary building. The idea was after they were done, they were going to put it back on the trailers and move it. But instead, we came in here. Somebody say amen. God had other plans. But even though the presence of God is all over this property, this building's getting old. And if those of you don't believe me, you want to take a walk outside, look around, you know, and look at what's going on. We have parts of the building that are made out of wood, and wood in Florida, it decays and so on. The roof is like, you've heard horror stories about this roof. Since we have been here, and since 2013, about 5.5 years, the church has spent over $50,000 in repairs just to keep this property going, this building going. Most of it on the roof and the stucco. We had to do all new stucco because it was all rotting. Air conditioning. We replaced three different units in the back. So it takes faith, and it takes vision, and it takes some hard work, and it takes us putting our hand in our pocket and believing in the vision of this church. So our vision is to become the church that God sees that we can be. We are the church that we are now, and we're okay. I mean, we're happy to be who we are right now. But I believe God has more. How many of you think God has more? So that's why, you know, we don't despise what we have now. We work hard. We celebrate where we are. But we got one eye towards the horizon because we believe that eye has not seen and ear has not heard and neither have entered into the hearts of men the things that God has prepared. Hallelujah. I want to just close this morning with the fact that we have a vision that has become more and more focused over the years, at least the 5 years that we've been here. I remember, I want to just kind of preface this, what I'm going to tell you right now, with the church we were at in Staten Island before we came here back in 2002, I think it was, to 2011. It was very interesting that we were associate pastors at that church, and to watch the church grow. And the pastor was very wise. He didn't quickly announce what his vision was when he first came to the church. He waited. He waited for God. He waited to hear what God was saying and what God was doing. And many of you believe that's wisdom. That is wisdom. Don't come with your preconceived ideas. Wait and see what God is saying. Amen? And as we have waited and as we've prayed, we're getting more and more focused, like a lens of a camera. We're seeing more clearly what Catalyst is all about. And I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to give you a few of these today. This doesn't, you know, I'm not saying this is the whole thing, but one of the things that's special about Catalyst is that we believe that the whole church is outwardly focused, that we are not here to hear one person or two people preach or sing, a bunch of experts. We believe that the church is missional. Everybody say missional. That we're all called to be missionaries. We're all, in a sense, apostles, because the Bible says an apostle is someone who is sent. We all been sent into the world. We believe in the Great Commission, right? So we are an outwardly focused church going into the harvest. The harvest field is beyond this property. There's one church here in Orlando that has a sign at the driveway. It says, when you're leaving, it says, you are now entering the mission field. You are now entering the mission field. So we see ourselves as an outwardly focused church going into the harvest to start conversations about Jesus wherever we go. Not every one of us can preach. Not every one of us is called to be a full-time evangelist. Not every one of us has a burden to maybe feed the poor or clothe those who need. Those are all valid ministries. But I want to tell you, every one of us can have a conversation about Jesus. Are you with me, church? We are all called to have conversations about Jesus. Amen? Number two, I see Catalyst, and I believe you do too, as a church where every person is growing spiritually. We are not meant to stay where we are. We are going from glory to glory, from one level of maturity to another level. How many of you have felt you have grown in the last few years? Grown spiritually, that is. You have grown spiritually. That every member is to become a disciple, not just a spectator. Amen? A disciple of Jesus in word and in deed. And disciples have some form of mission and some form of ministry, that every member of the church can eventually be active in ministry. Of course, you're going to need training, right? We all need training. But that every member can become a minister. Are you with me still? All right, I'm sharing vision right now, okay? Number three. So number two was every member is growing spiritually. Number two is a place of prayer. One thing that's very special about Catalyst is the prayer meeting. Oh, I expected to hear a big amen on that one. If you've ever been to our Wednesday night prayer service, you would say there's something special about the prayer meeting at this church. I mean, I'm not just saying that. It was here before we got here. And one of the things the Lord spoke to my wife and I immediately in the first year we were here, do not change the prayer meeting. Don't mess with the prayer meeting. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't mess with the prayer meeting. Prayer meeting is the life of the church. It's the lifeline of the church. We have had prayer times that have been so interesting. You know, you think sometimes that prayer meetings are boring. Not here. Not here. We've had some very, very out-of-the-box prayer meetings in this church. We've gone around praying over the chairs. We've had anointing with oil. We've had times where we've just knelt before God. We've had amazing times where God would give prophetic messages, prophetic words. If you can shut your phones off, it would be, oh, it goes anyway, even if your phone is shut. Okay, well, we'll have to deal with that. So our prayer meetings are not boring. They are not boring. God shows up, as he said he would. But I see that as growing. I see a time when the prayer meeting will be so popular that people will be lining up to get a seat to come to our prayer meeting. I'm serious. I've seen it happen. I'm glad we got some people of faith in here. Number four. What is special about Catalyst? What is our vision? Catalyst will be the hands and the heart of Jesus. To the poor, the hurting, it will be a place of restoration, a place of miracles, a place of healing and deliverance. Amen. We've already seen this. Can you turn your volume down? Would that work? Can you throw your phone out the door? No. Can you shoot the phone? Yes, let's pray. I'm sorry. I'm being a little, whatever. Trying to be funny when I'm not funny. But help that person to be found, Lord, whoever that is, we pray. That reminds me of one time when I, because I'm on this point of a loving place. It reminds me of the time, and this really happened at our church in Staten Island, where I was preparing a sermon on love. And then my secretary said, Pastor so-and-so is on the phone. He needs you right away. Now, this man was really, really one of those people that is constantly draining you, constantly calling, constantly having troubles. You know, if somebody, you ever see somebody's number come up on the phone, you say, oh, no, please, Lord, not that one. This is going to be a 30-minute conversation, right? You all have people like that. So I said to my sir, please tell him I'm too busy. I'm preparing a message on love right now. Hello? I didn't get the message. But I want this to be a loving place. And it is already. But it's only going to get better. If you love people, love them more. If you love your wife, love her more. If you love your husband, love him more. Angora. That's Italian. Any Italians here? Amen. Annie, yours, half Italian. Yeah, that means enough already. All right. Number five, a worshiping church. A church that is known for the real presence of God. Growing in worship in creative ways. Brother Angel, we are so pleased to see the progress already. Somebody give God a hand. We have some people, some young people in our worship team. And we're getting more. We even had someone with purple hair today. Praise the Lord. How cool is that? I want to see some young people up here with pink hair and green hair. I don't care. As long as they're worshiping Jesus. Hallelujah. I don't care. A multi-generational, Brother Angel and I have talked about this, a multi-generational worship team that brings us into the presence of God with creativity and excellence. Number six, children, youth, and young adults being nurtured and taught and raised up to be the next generation of spiritual leaders in this world. That is a goal of this church. That is part of the vision of this church. To see children, young people, and young adults nurtured, taught of the Lord, and raised up and released as the next generation of leaders in this world. I mean, for those of us who are over 60, okay, we're not ignoring that. The Elizabeths of this world, remember Elizabeth in the Bible and the men like Zechariah and the other, Annas, was it? And the other older people, Anna and who was her husband? Alkina, all the old folks, all right? So we have a part to play too. Somebody say amen. Amen. So I can say, Simeon, thank you. We all have a part to play too. But, if we do not invest in our young people, if we do not see some young people catch this vision and become impacted by the gospel and have passion for Jesus, we have failed. We have failed. We've got to pass the torch. We've got to see leaders. Remember, the Bible talks about the generation that saw the works of God. This is at the end of the book of Joshua, going into the book of Judges. It says, the generation that saw Moses and the elders and saw all the mighty works that God had done, they all passed away. And another generation arose that did not know God nor the great works that he had done. And then Israel began to sin and backslide and fall away from God. That's how critical it is. And I'm happy to see our young people involved in the church. Please support them. Please pray for them. Where's Maria? Is Maria here, your dear wife? Oh, well, you can represent Steph. Oh, here you are. Maria, come on in. We need to salute this couple and thank them for the good. Come on, give them a mighty... Go give your husband a hug. Okay, all right. Yay. He was away. You were in Israel? All right, and he travels a lot. They are already in full-time ministry. They are missionaries. They have to raise all their support, every single penny. But they also give their time fully to the young people of this church. That touches me. That touches me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I don't do this too often, but the Lord put this on my heart. And I also Jerry and Marilyn and who else? The other young people. Matthew helps out with the youth and Kiana. Yes, and of course all our children's workers. But you know, I was thinking about this couple that is already in full-time ministry. And traveling all around, especially Brother Stephen travels all around, and yet find the time to work with our young people. Thank you. We need to say thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. And finally, number seven. Seven is a perfect number. A training place. I see a vision of a place, as Pastor Angel said, a hub, a center, a sending place like Antioch in Acts chapter 13, where there were missionaries and apostles and evangelists and all the different gifts of the body were functioning and people were getting trained and sent out. Paul and Barnabas, the first missionary journey started it from Antioch. It was a sending church. You've already heard the fact that Catalyst is slowly being known as an international church. Everybody that comes, a lot of visitors that come say that, even ministers who minister from this pulpit said, when I see this church, I see nations. I see nations. And I want to announce something. I was going to announce it next week, but I'm going to give you a little tease because next week we have some surprises for you at the anniversary service. But the council has met, the church council, and we prayed and sought the Lord for many weeks. And we have made a decision to change the name of the church from Catalyst Community Church to Catalyst International Church. Somebody say amen. Now, having said that, it still requires the full consensus of the congregation. So we're going to have at our congregational meeting, which will come up in a month or so, we'll have you all have the chance to vote on that. Okay, so we're not just doing this on our own. We need to hear your heart too. But if you believe... So far, if you believe that's a good thing, would you please raise your hand right now? Catalyst International Church. Okay. We've been sensing that in the Holy Spirit, and we're going to run with it. Praise the Lord. I'm excited and out of breath. I want to close with this. Think about the potential of what could happen as we make more room for Jesus. We make more room in this place for Jesus' love to touch people. These little chairs, I don't know if you can see this. Some of you haven't seen these. These are the little acrylic chairs that are in that model house. Isn't that cute? That costs $2,000. That's right. There are people in this church who have made a pledge 2 years ago to help pay for the seats in the new building and pay for the whole building. It's not just the seat. $2,000 is not just for the chair. It's the proportionate number, one of 300 parts of what it costs to build the building. You follow what I'm saying? So we need to raise about $600,000. So it's roughly 300 seats, $2,000 each is $600,000. But some of you have these seats, and we have... That chalkboard back there says 174. Where's Enid? Is Enid here today? Oh, hi, Enid. She was the one who asked me. She says, what is that? Is that blood pressure? Somebody's blood pressure? I said, no. It better not be. Is that bad? Is 300 bad? Way bad. That means we got 174 seats already pledged. People who are giving $50 a month, $100 a month, whatever God's put on their heart. But we need to finish this project. We need to finish this project with God's help. And next week we're going to be dedicating the entire offering. Again, this is with the council's agreement to dedicate the entire offering next week. That's why we didn't do the 2020 pledges today. Because I want to have you take a week to pray about it. Everybody say, pray about it. Pray about it. What God would have you to do. And that's all we're asking. You're not going to get a bill. We don't send out bills. We don't enforce these pledges. These are faith pledges. They're faith pledges. Nobody ever got an invoice, right? Nobody ever got an invoice. This is all up to you. Whatever God puts on your heart. So next week, you'll have a chance to either make a pledge or give a one-time gift. Maybe somebody can think of some creative way that God could give a large gift. You know, you can give a large gift if God leads you that way. All we're asking is that you would pray. How many of you say, Pastor, I will pray. I will pray. I will pray. Amen. And here's what I want to close with, okay? What could happen if all these empty seats got filled? You know you had a good time today in God's house, right? But you know what? God wants more people to come to his table. Hallelujah. This could be somebody in this seat here who didn't know they had a family. Didn't realize that the church would become. How many of you can say that since you've been in Catalyst, you have felt like part of this family? You found the family you didn't know you had. Hallelujah. Maybe somebody's coming in here, and we've had this happen, strung out on drugs, strung out on alcohol, addicted to pornography. And Jesus says, my blood can wash them. I want them to have a seat at my table. Somebody here who perhaps has been filled with shame and all their life didn't understand what their purpose. My parents didn't act like they really wanted me. My father, he didn't celebrate me. He didn't affirm me. I never heard any attaboys. I never heard any, honey, I'm proud of you. It's sad. You know, there was a young lady that was counseling with my wife, and she said, my mom told me, I wish you were never born. Can you imagine the hurt that's in this world? This is why we need to get a new building. It's not just because we want to stop repairing this building. It's because more people need what we have in this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody's going to walk in here with such a heavy burden of sin. They're going to feel like they want to end it all. Suicide is rampant among our young people. This week, where was it? In Lake Nona. Did anybody read it in the paper? There was a young person, I think in high school, young lady in Lake Nona, that ended her life. Our young people don't understand that God has a plan for their life. But Jesus said, come to my table. Come to my table. People have struggled with rejection. I always felt like nobody ever wanted me. Jesus says, I want you. I want you. Come to my table. Come to my table. Be my son. Be my daughter. I can make your heart brand new. Hallelujah. I can give you a whole new life. Amen. Turn away from all the idols. Because the only true God is the Lord Jesus Christ, our Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Would you just give God a hand of praise right now? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward, and we're going to serve the communion elements. And I'm going to leave these chairs here.